What I'm going to talk to you about is the humanity of Elijah. And James, in chapter 5 of James, he said, Elijah was a man like you and me. He prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and he prayed again, and it rained, and the crops grew and everything else. Well, this is all surrounds this thing from the video this morning. And oh my goodness, watch out for those YouTube videos. Marie sent me some, you know, a whole bunch I could look at. There's some wackos just talking about Elijah. Don't believe all those videos you get. I mean, I've seen some younger people completely led astray by those recently. So yeah, you know, the word of God is where it's at. So, all right. But Elijah was a man just like you and I, and yet he did all these things. Well, Elijah was just a man. We're all just men, you know, and God has a purpose for our life. God has a purpose for every single life, and he has a reason for us, and he wants you to fulfill that. When we talk about the word perfect, it means you fulfilling the purpose God put you here on earth for. That's perfection. And boy, do we do it imperfectly? I'm living testimony to the imperfection of carrying that out. But God somehow or another has loved me just as deeply as he loved Elijah. And his profound love for Elijah is what carried him along. So, you know, Elijah just, you know, like it said in the video, he became aware of all the things available, whatever the king, I can't pronounce it the way they did on the video. They're probably correct. I call him Ahab. King Ahab. His wife, I'm pretty sure I could pronounce that right. His wife's name was Jezebel. What does that bring up in your mind? Jezebel. Well, when you think of Jezebel, yeah, wow, what a heritage she has. She brought prophets of Baal in. She got Ahab to worshiping Baal. And you know, Baal worship was a horrible thing. They even sacrificed babies. I mean, it was bad. And he brought all the prophets of Baal. Jezebel was killing off all the prophets of God. And Obadiah, one of Ahab's underlings, secretly took 100 prophets of God and put them in caves, 50 in each cave, and fed them, probably from Ahab and Jezebel's table, and which is always, you know, a good thing to see, kept them alive. So, after Elijah visited Ahab and he says, it's not going to rain. There's not going to be a drop of rain. And there wasn't a drop of rain. There wasn't any dew. 3.5 years. You can imagine what that'd do here, right? 3.5 years, not a drop of rain, no snow, no dew. Whoa, it'd be something. It'd be really something. Elijah went to a ravine first. God directed him there, and he says, the ravens will feed you, and the ravens fed him. And I hope the ravens fed him. Ravens fed him better things than what I've seen ravens eating. Anyway, and he drank from a brook, and then because of the drought, the brook dried up, and God directed him to a widow's house, and he asked the widow for bread, and she says, I just have just enough flour for my son and I to have one more meal, and then we're going to die. But she did what Elijah asked her to do. He says, if you do this, he says, you'll have plenty of flour. And you'll have plenty. The flour never, it was always, the whole time, there was flour. The oil never dried up. It was always oil. The widow's son died. And she says, what have you brought upon me? And Elijah says, give me your son. Took him up to his room, prayed for him, stretched out on him 3 times. God brought the son back to life. All these things in Elijah's life gave him the nerve to do what he did on Mount Carmel. He knew God was real. He knew God. So after the whole thing that was on the video, Elijah prayed 7 times, and 7 times he had his servant run over and look over the Mediterranean, and he prayed for rain, he prayed for rain, he prayed for rain, he prayed for rain. And the last time the servant came back, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, run for it. It's going to rain. And by the time he got to Ahab, it was starting. And he told Ahab, you better head for Jezreel. And Ahab said, they're headed for Jezreel, and the rain's coming. And Ahab's got his, you know what, I don't know if you've ever seen a movie with chariots, you know? I mean, they have several horses, and they go fast. Ahab looks over, and there's Elijah running beside him. And then all of a sudden, Elijah's running ahead of him. Whoa. he was hyped. He was high on God. Well, get to Jezreel, and here's where my part of the lesson really starts. Elijah had the idea, and the video gives you the idea that was a battle for the ages. It was done. It was sealed. God was God. Well, Jezebel saw it as a skirmish. Just a skirmish. Never mind 400 prophets of Baal had died. Just a skirmish. And she said, see if I have the right scriptures to open here. In chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, of First Kings. And by the way, you need to read First Kings and First Chronicles, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. You need to read that stuff. There's some great stories in here. And it also shows the good people and the bad people, and there were seemed like more bad people than good people. And if you haven't read these books of the Bible, you're illiterate Christian. I'll just go ahead and say that. Now Ahab, chapter 19, verse 1, now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So, and those chains in that video, wow, I didn't know they had chains like that back then. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and he ran for it. He fell asleep at a place called Bethel, and the angel woke him up and he said, "Eat." The angel had food for him. And he went back to sleep, and the angel woke him up, "Eat, had more food. You're going to need this for your journey." He traveled all the way from northern Israel down into the Sinai to Horeb, which was the mountain of God. It was the same mountain that Moses received the Ten Commandments on. And he went into a cave, and I took another nap. I don't know how long. He was exhausted. He was exhausted. So then God woke him up. The word of the Lord came to him. He said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites..." Oh, I'm sorry. This is in 19, starting with verse 9. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They have put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. Elijah forgot about the 100 prophets that had been hidden away and didn't realize how many of the people of Israel had been affected by the whole thing on the mountain, and there were lots of them. And he just, "I'm the only one left. You know, I'm no better than my fathers. I might as well die." Well, there were some things that happened here. Elijah had a Jezebel problem, not the same problem as Ahab had. He had a Jezebel problem, and he was convinced, you know, that she was going to accomplish what she said she was going to accomplish. And to put it really bluntly, Elijah was a basket case. He was a mental basket case. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Oh, you guys are all human. Huh, okay. Yeah, me too. And so was Elijah. He's just as human as you and I. He's just a man like us. Part of the problem was Elijah was exhausted. What he did on Mount Carmel cost him a whole lot. He put a ton of energy into all that. I can't even imagine how much energy it took. And then on top of that, he ran all the way back from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. He ran ahead of the chariot. I mean, makes me tired just talking about it. He was exhausted. And the result of him being exhausted kind of put him in the condition he was in. Another thing was Elijah was naive. He thought, and we so often get the idea, this very same idea, he thought that battle was a once and for all. He thought, okay, this is done. God is God in Israel. Nobody's ever going to go against him again. Wrong. We go through a lot of things in life And we think, okay, that's it. I pastored for 50 years, and I had some, God used me all through it. And sometimes when I didn't realize that God was using me, and in other times I thought I was God, and that's part of the problem with Elijah. He got confused as to who God was. He thought he had done all this. And that's part of what wore him out. That's part of what exhausted him. That's part of what made him naive. He just thought, okay, it's finished. It's done. we have won the day. And the third thing I want to talk about is his perfectionism. He isolated himself. This might sound a little strange to you, but he isolated himself, and I'm the only one. Wow. When you isolate yourself, when you're an emotional basket case, bad things happen in your mind, in your heart. You know, you need to seek counsel. You need the fellowship of other Christians. You need to be here. I'm preaching to the ones that are one. You're here. But that's the fact. You just need to be here. You need to be in fellowship. You need to have contact. You need to be able to share your woes, your sorrows. You need to be able to share your joys. You need to be able to share that with other people who love the Lord like you do. That gives you strength. That takes you out of this idea that, you know, he thought, because of his perfectionism, he thought everything depended on him. He thought, everything depends on me. We can't go on because everything depends on me, and I'm the only one. I'm the only guy. I'm the only Christian. And everything depends on me. And then, of course, he looked at the futility of the future, you know. Well, you know, he won this great victory for God. You know, I alone have won this victory for God. And he got things upside down because God won the victory through him. And Jezebel, you know, okay, you're dead. She would have made a good mafia character, right? Yeah, you're dead. He says, it's over. It's over. It's over, he says. He believed God for the miracles, but not for his own issues. He believed God for the miracles that God had done continuously through his life. He believed God for the miracle on Mount Carmel. But he didn't believe God for his own issues. I believe we get confused on that quite often. We have to realize that God is God, and he profoundly loves us, and he cares about us, and he's willing to do the impossible in our lives if we will let him, and if we will give him the glory for what happens in our lives. You know, he confronted Ahab, but he ran away from Jezebel. Well, I don't blame him too much on that one, but, you know, we've probably all run from problems. We've all walked away from problems, and I've done that. You know, I've been completely defeated in my life, and I've gone to another church, but, you know, God loved me enough to raise me up and use me again, and that's what we're going to talk about here at the end. This is the remedy. In chapter 19, I already read part of that to you, 9 through 12. Anyway, verse 11 says, God says to Ezekiel, excuse me, after he gets back up, he says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then before he got out on the mountain, because I don't, you know, but anyway, he was on his way. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Same question all over again. Same answer. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. But the thing that just really astounds me is the fact that God, first of all, demonstrated his power. He says, look, remember this. You got to remember this. Get this in your mind, Elijah. I am all powerful. And God also helped him to focus with his feelings and his perceptions into focus. He got his feelings and perceptions into focus. He got the idea finally that God could deal with his deepest need. And his deepest need wasn't the miracles. His deepest need was to just trust God for those miracles and realize that God would do this. And there's no debate. And a still small voice came along, a gentle whisper. And he says, Elijah, it's time to go back to work. So, what happened? Well, he put him back to work. I've experienced this. I thought I was done. I thought I was finished. I really think this is funny now. But when I left my church in Michigan and went to church in South Dakota, I was 49 years old. I thought my life was over. Those of you my age are going to laugh. Those of you younger go, boy, I'm not 50 yet. Wayne and I constantly remind our pastor that we could be his dad. And just to help him keep in focus, you know. I needed that when I was that age, I guess. I just thought my life was over, but God so profoundly loved me, and he so profoundly loves you, he just kind of, after all that confusion, after all that pain, after all the problems, he just kind of said, okay, Dwight, go back to work. He just picked Elijah up and he says, okay, Elijah, let's go back to work. He assigned Elijah some jobs. He went and he anointed two kings that were going to kill all the bad guys, and then he appointed the guy that was coming after him, Elisha, his successor. Not very many people get to anoint their successor. It's not even allowed in a ministry. But here's the thing. He said, I love you. Number one, I love you. Number two, I will never give up on you. Number three, we have to work together. It's not you. You don't get to lead this. We work together. Number four, let me work through you. Number five, I am still God of the impossible. That scripture quoted to you in James, the last part of verse 16 says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man just like you and I. He prayed and the rain stopped for 3.5 years. We don't want him to come here in the Bitter Valley. And he prayed again and the rain started. And it wasn't just any rain. It was a flooding rain. And of course, when the ground's that dry, it does flood first. Takes a while. All the crops came back. God was in all of that. And God wants to work in your life in the very same ways that he worked in Elijah, who was a man. And I'm talking about mankind, by the way. This gets confused in our day and time. We're talking mankind here. In other words, ladies, men, teens. Doesn't matter how old you are, God wants to work in your life, and he wants to use you. And perfection is finding God's purpose and fulfilling that purpose. Doesn't have to be a huge thing. There's no small purposes in God's kingdom. No small purposes. Just God. So just seek him and find him. Let's stand and receive a benediction. And now may God bless you and may God keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.